listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow.
This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Empower the Spirit. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. It's so great to have you with us tonight on the program, Empower the Spirit. And speaking of such, Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. It's part of our regular church services. And our mission is to empower the human spirit. And so tonight we're going to do just that. We're going to talk about practical life skills. We're going to talk about things that empower. We're going to talk about things that encourage. And we have a special guest with us, Mark L. Cowden from Belfast, Ireland, in the wee hours of the morning for him. It's 2 o'clock a.m. for him. So he's been good enough to stay awake and join us tonight. Don't forget following this program, Dr. Vicky's Psychic Perspective. And she'll be taking your calls, offering psychic advice and different things. So if you've got questions about life or issues or relationships or anything, feel free to hang on and you can call in and ask her your questions. That's coming up after this program in about an hour. So hang tough with us there. As I mentioned, tonight we have a special guest, Mark L. Cowden, joining us from Ireland. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, so Kelly, it's a pleasure to be on, and it's a refreshing experience to be on something that's a bit motivational. You know, I had to do so many of these things, and it's almost like every night is Halloween sometimes, but to hear that nice, soft, motivational music is a nice, refreshing change for me.
Well, you know, we, just so for our listeners' benefit, I had interviewed Mark on my other previous program, Paranexus Universe, here, I don't know, it's been 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we had a great interview, and it was something that I really wanted to bring over to this program because it has so much to do with metaphysics, and Mark has such an outstanding, grounded perspective on things that I really wanted to share it with our listeners on this program. Now, Mark, give us a little bit of background on you. You're obviously not Irish, so...
Yeah, you might hear my voice and think, oh, this guy's not Irish at all, and you would be correct. I'm originally from Oklahoma, and in the late 90s, I made a trip to Ireland, which was only supposed to be a short trip, and 14 years later, I'm still here. But basically what happened was I came over here and ended up just kind of falling in love with the place. You know, it was a different class of environment, different class of people, and you know, I don't really even know what brought me over here in the first place. It was kind of business, I guess, but there was a draw to the place, and so I sort of think it maybe just was it was a part of the master plan, because the people here seem to have a little bit of an untouched knowledge, you know, that has been contaminated a bit in some of the other places that I've been, even my hometown. And a lot of the buildings, the history of everywhere you would go here, it just seems like, it seemed to me like there was something for me to learn and maybe some knowledge that I could acquire from these people in these places. So one thing led to another, and I ended up staying. I got a job as an audiovisual tech in a media company, and this media company was located in an old linen mill from the early 1800s. And this building was amazing. It was practically untouched from when it was in its heyday of, you know, producing linen for the world. And except for our little studio and our little office, the whole complex was just as it was back in those days. And this place had a reputation for being haunted, as, you know, most places here do.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually spoke to some of the people who worked there and frequented the place. And, you know, every single one of them, regardless of their beliefs or their religious background, they all had some sort of an experience there. And the manager of the company, he experienced stuff on a daily basis to the point where it almost drove him mad, and he ended up leaving, which left me in charge.
Hmm.
Now, this was over the month of July, which is a political month here in Northern Ireland for people who are aware of the politics here. So sometimes it can be a bit dangerous commuting or traveling back and forth. So I ended up staying on site. I lived in this mill for a period of time, and I started experiencing these things where there would be doors slamming or, you know, footsteps down the hall. A lot of it would be kind of classic paranormal stuff.
Cool.
But then one morning I came down and found a recorded message on my computer, and it was calling out my name and asking for help. So that was kind of, I didn't, you know, yeah. There's not exactly a number in the yellow page you can call to get information on this sort of stuff. So
yeah.
I spoke to one of these people that I knew that was kind of a, you know, she had this knowledge that I speak about that was kind of untouched, and she tended to naturally know about these things, and she was kind of my mentor. You know, she trained me in developing my own spirit to study this stuff and the importance of a positive outlook, and, you know, you start with the source and work your way out. And we spent a number of months, which turned into a number of years, and I kind of got the bug and started studying this stuff professionally, which led to the odd television show, and now I've just released a book.
Yeah, and tell us about your book, the name, where it can be gotten, so forth.
Well, the book is called Spirit Voices, The First Live Conversation Between Worlds, and it documents 10 years of my experiences here, and not only studying the paranormal, but studying my own spirit and developing my own spirit, and kind of, you know, just by trial and error and intuition, learning the do's and don'ts about studying and recording this stuff, and the inspiration and positive things it can have on your own life, because, you know, the biggest question in everybody's mind, whether they admit it or not, is there anything more
mm-hmm.
to life than death? And when you look at it, every religion in the world, pretty much, the one thing that they do have in common is they promote an afterlife.
Right.
You say 95% at least of the world's population are religious in some shape or form. So taking that into account, it's a bit daft to discount paranormal occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just, I wrote all of my experiences in the book, which led to us recording what is believed to be the first live conversation between a living person and a person who has experienced physical death. And this happened with television cameras rolling, and it aired to a lot of people, you know, throughout the world. And you can get the book anywhere books are sold. I think the Kindles and the Nook versions, electronic versions, were released earlier today.
Oh, cool. Are they? Is the book generally in bookstores, or do you have to order it online?
It may be in a few bookstores, but the thing is, you know, it's like anything else. Your best bet is just to go online and get it, because you could drive all the way to the bookshop, and even if it's in stock, they're only going to stock one or two. And if you go all the way there and it's not there, where you can have it delivered in 24 hours, you know, from Amazon or any of the usual outlets.
That's great. So, and then also mention your website, too, for people who want to.
Oh, yeah, my website is, it's my name, Mark L. Cowden, CowDen.com. And, yeah, you can get information on the website and book outlets, and I think there's even a link to your show there.
Oh, groovy. Far out and solid and right on. Okay, to coin a few 70s expressions. Of course, I was only born in, you know, like 1995, so do you believe that? I wouldn't. That was a total lie there, man.
Was that the rebirth, or?
Yeah, well, I'll let you know. All right, so let's talk more about these voices that you recorded. Tell us what was going on the episode. You're there doing, you guys are taping the episode, right?
Yeah, we did the series. It was a BBC series. We did it for 2 years. And each location took about 3 days to film for a 30-minute output. And even at that, you know, we had no editorial control over what went out. So some of the best stuff that we thought we recorded didn't even end up on the show. But the thing was, it was about classic Irish hauntings, historical hauntings. And the aim of the show was just to tell the ghost story and to talk to some of the people that frequented the locations and get their witness testimony. And myself and a few of the others were kind of brought in as the gimmick, you know, the last few minutes of the show, just to see if the ghost hunters could bring in their gadgets and zap anything. You know? They were a bit surprised whenever I started recording voices in pretty much every single episode. And, you know, the production team and the film crew and all were completely independent from us. They weren't paranormal people at all. So, you know, the show was built factual entertainment on it. So any way you look at it, you know, there's absolutely no way that it can be enhanced or there could be any trickery involved, because it's just, it was too, you know, it's not possible with the BBC and the way these things are filmed. And, you know, the director of the show, he was a professional sound engineer, and he was just sitting over me in every episode thinking, he just said a number of times, I have no idea where you're getting these voices or how this is happening, you know.
Uh-huh.
And by the end of it, these people who were non-paranormal people at all, when we re-recorded the conversation on the very last episode of the second series, and it's almost like they weren't even surprised. You know, it's one of the most groundbreaking things that's ever happened in the history of the world. This is news that you would think would be on every mainstream channel in the world, every paranormal group's website, all these television shows which claim to have the aim of proving paranormal occurrences. But yet, it was just, oh yeah, they do it all the time.
So, and, yeah. So let me just sum up. So you guys are filming these episodes, and you're getting these EVPs real time as you go.
Yeah, well, they start off as EVPs. And myself, the medium, Marion Goodfellow, and the psychic investigator, Andy Matthews, we, out of a team of about 10 people, we were the ones that naturally, over time, molded together.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that because we have the same outlook and the same principal beliefs on these things. And, you know, it's a positive outlook where we're not, none of us, we don't want to go in to scare ourselves. We don't have that outlook to do the up-the-nose night vision camera shot and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We were naturally on a mission to empower our own spirit and to learn about ourselves and this special, unique power that is inside us. And this grew stronger and stronger over time, and the voices and the things that I was recording was corresponding with this. It was getting better and better over time, and it got to the point where sometimes when I recorded the conversation, I wasn't even using the high-tech gadgets or anything. It was just a couple of laptops and a microphone. And it was in an old haunted hotel in Northern Ireland, and the medium and the psychic investigator were on the bed in the apparent haunted room, and I was next door with the CCTV cameras and the laptop computers and stuff and film crews in both rooms. And, you know, one thing I always forget to say in these interviews is we had already filmed the episode. It was finished, and we had some spare time. So one of the guys thought, well, why don't we just do some recordings and see if we get anything?
Uh-huh.
And so that's what we did. And about 10 minutes into the session, the medium said that she was feeling a presence. And she started speaking, and I started recording the responses. And she had no idea.
Make that clear. You were recording. She was basically communicating with a spirit. And you're getting the spirit's responses on the recording.
Yeah, I've got the microphones placed in their room, the hotel room that they were in. And I'm recording what she is saying, but I'm also recording the spirit replies. Now, naturally, she's perceiving what the spirits are saying to her, but she had no idea that I could hear what was being said as well. So I had a microphone system or an intercom system where I would talk to somebody that was in the room with her, so I would relay what I was getting back to that room, which created a loop, which in turn made the live conversation happen.
And that was I had a chance to review a little bit of that video, which is private at this point. And it was fascinating. I mean, I could see Mark there talking. Was it Andy you were talking to, your colleague?
Yeah.
And so he's got an earpiece apparently. So you're relaying what you're hearing to him. And the psychic is, I'm sorry, Marion?
Yeah.
And So she obviously is out of the loop. She doesn't know what's going on at the moment, correct?
Well, she knows what she's getting, but she doesn't know that I'm recording it.
Right.
Because she, you know, I'm listening through headphones in another room. So all she knows is what she's being told, what I'm relaying back to that room. So when she starts realizing that what I'm recording is in conjunction to what she's perceiving and it is in tune with the conversation that we're having, you know, she starts getting quite emotional because, you know, these mediums and psychics, they go through a lot of pain in their lives because, you know, being told that they're crazy and that they're faking it and this, that, and the other. Maybe some of them are, but, you know, I know Mary and I've worked with her for a number of years, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt, this woman's legit, you know. And for somebody to actually hear what she hears was kind of an overwhelming experience for her. And, you know, the output that you saw on the show, that lasted for maybe a couple of minutes, but the conversation lasted for 45 minutes, you know.
So you're recording these voices for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I agree. I mean, I saw the footage with Marion, and you have revealed now that what you've been doing, and she's listening to some of the feedback, the recorded responses, and she is getting emotional. And, you know, and I felt for her at that moment. I mean, that really, I could really empathize with her, or sympathize, I should say, with her, because it's like, finally I have some objective proof of what I'm picking up. It was great. You know, and you're right. I mean, I have, in all my experience in anomalous research, I have not heard of this. I have not heard where this type of thing is going on as a medium or psychic is communicating with a spirit, picking up on impressions and so on and so forth, and you completely detached in another room are picking up the spirit side of the conversation. You know, wow. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, and this woman, she's in her mid-60s, and she's been perceiving spirits since she was about 2 or 3 years old. So her whole life, this has been happening to her. And it's only after 60-plus years that it's finally verified, you know. And during that journey, she, you know, even, I'm sure she's thought to herself, I must be crazy at times, you know. But anyway, it was just a great experience to be a part of that and to, you know, and I don't think it was by chance. I think that there's something about the three of us together that formed the right type of a circuit to allow this to happen. And I think that's in conjunction with what you guys promote, you know, your beliefs and your principles and things like that.
Let's talk about that in just a second. And before we get into that, I just want to tell our listeners, if you have a question for Mark, you're more than welcome to call in. The number is 714-459-3973. John Hightower is on standby waiting to screen your calls. So give us a ring if you have a question for Mark, or you can type it in the chat room. So, Mark, let's talk about what you were just saying. You've got three of you like-minded, similar outlooks, similar beliefs. And how would you characterize those beliefs? I mean, what makes them unique or different?
I believe, first and foremost, I think it's the do no harm. You know, a lot of these people who study paranormal accounts, that's the furthest thing from their mind.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They want to go in and scare themselves, or they want to be a part of something they see on television, or they want to go in and be disrespectful to an unfortunate soul in an unfortunate circumstance. I mean, I've seen them on TV yelling and screaming. I've seen them calling names. I've seen, you know, I've seen everything you could think of, and maybe this is popular television, but it's not what I'm about, and it's not what those two are about. Once you've experienced this stuff firsthand, and you know that it's not a gimmick, you know that it's not some sort of a product that sells postcards or sells television ratings, you realize that, you know, this could be you. You know, this. I'm sure these people don't choose to be stuck in the places that they're stuck all the time. And you think that, you know, there's a possibility that, you know, this could happen to me. And I want to do some soul searching and reach inside myself. And I want to live my life in a positive manner and do my small little bit to positively influence the ones around me, you know.
And yeah, that's great.
the outlook that we're all on. And that's how you can tell the truth from the fraud. Anybody who's actually experienced this stuff at a level where they can tell themselves undeniably that this happens, this is the truth, it's a humbling experience. You know, you're not going to go on and be disrespectful to people and souls in different environments. You're going to do what you can do to help. You're going to, at the very least, do no harm, you know, and try to do some right.
And now, and that's, I mean, obviously, I'm going to think that's an excellent point, because that's obviously what we believe and it's what we promote. And I do want to comment, too, on what you said about some of the other TV shows, especially some of the ones in the States. You know, they've been caught. They've been caught in fabricating evidence. Some of the popular shows. And, you know, I understand. I mean, I get it. TV is TV. It's drama. It's, you got to have something. And if all they did was film a legitimate paranormal investigation, it would be monotonous. It would be uneventful 90% of the time. Nothing would happen. It would not make good TV. So it comes to a point where they've got to do something. They've got to, you know, and I understand they may have their own boundaries, but some of these shows have been caught in fabricating evidence. And so my position is, look, you know, if I see it in one of these reality-based TV shows, honestly, you know, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt. One of the things that I really appreciated about you and your experience here is that there was no fabrication. There was no drama. It was, you know, you're doing this, you're having this psychic or this investigation, if you will. You know, Marion's trying to communicate with the spirit. You're just recording it, and it's happening. You know, and it's not fabricated. It was not even originally part of that show, right? It was after the fact, right?
Well, yeah, we'd already filmed the episode. The episode was finished. I mean, you know, we could have left right then and there, and we would have had the episode finished. It would have been the same as all the other episodes that we've done. But we had some time remaining, and we thought, well, let's continue recording. And a lot like people who do paranormal investigations will know, when you're getting ready to leave, sometimes that's when you get the best stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with us. I mean, for 2.5 days, we had one guy just down walking around the hallways practically begging for something to happen, begging to receive a voice. Down, I mean, it was to the point of it being embarrassing. He was like, man, you know, I wouldn't talk to you either the way you're acting. And then sure enough, whenever myself, Andy, and Marion, we got together, great things happened, as they usually did. And like, you know, you were talking about the other shows too, that if they were truthful, they would be boring. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might say, that are familiar with the show that I did, would say, well, then how come yours is so good? Well, the thing is, we took it upon ourselves to do a lot of research out of our own pocket. We spent years going to these locations before we even filmed them. You know, we weren't a part of some big American network production that didn't extensively research these places. Yeah, well, I mean, we paid expenses out of our own pockets, and I've stayed in every attic, castle, haunted pub in this country, you know, and we've spent multiple nights there, and it took us a year going to all these locations to narrow it down to the first six that we did.
Wow.
And we made sure that something was likely to happen when we went into these places. And the first series, I didn't make anything. The second series I did for expenses. You know, we're not rolling in money here. This is something that we had a passion for to begin with.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, if you're going to do a production like that, you want to get the most likely places because it's for TV. And you don't want to have to fabricate something, so you want to choose the best locations that are going to likely yield something. There's a question in the chat room. I'll just throw it at you here from Camille. My daughters and I see and experience things, but we are never able to communicate with these people, spirits. Does this take training, or should we try to reach out?
There could be a couple of things. Sometimes there could be what they call a residual, where you actually see something, but it's kind of a replay, you know, and there's not like there's an actual soul attached to it. And in times like that, when we've had these experiences in the past, you know, you're not going to get any interaction out of these in particular, because there's not a consciousness, there's not a intelligence behind them. You know, it's this science is still working on the explanation, but in my head it makes perfect sense. I can't explain it in scientific terms, but there's something happens where there's some sort of a, you know, an image is captured and it can be replayed over time. We've seen evidence of this, even in audio terms. I've recorded voices which seem to be looped into the environment. So if it's a case of that, you know, you can try until you're blue in the face, you're not going to get a reaction out of it. Mm-hmm. If there is a consciousness there, then, you know, and yourself and your kids are seeing it, well, it wouldn't hurt. You know, it's something that you should do anyway. You know, you should develop your own mind, body, and spirit anyway. And just go in with the greatest of intentions and, you know, say say, you can do it in your mind. Just communicate, you know, talk and say, you know, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can help you with? You know, is there something you want to say to me? And a lot of times you get it in a dream. You know, the best, what I do, if I want to perceive something, is I would set 2 alarms in the morning. I set the alarm that tells me to wake up, and I set the alarm that tells me to get up. And in between the wake up and the get up is when you're having sort of a spiritual sleep, and you'll get the best visions then.
Mm-hmm. The hypnopompic.
Yeah.
Transitioning from sleep to awake, is that what you're... Or
yeah,
sleep, wake to sleep.
You've come back out of it. You've got a deep sleep, and then you've drifted off back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
When you, and then that's kind of a drifting sleep. That's when you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when you'll get the perceptions.
And let me just add to what you're saying too, because you've alluded to this as well, in many of your comments so far tonight. One of the things that I always encourage my students and other anomalous researchers is to view and treat spirits just like you do human beings. That means respecting them, respecting boundaries, not mistreating them. You mentioned that, how some of these TV shows will use provoking or other things like that. You treat them like people, because that's what they are. And on the other thing, the residual hauntings, there's some various theories about that. I'm sure you're aware of them. I'm just stating this for the audience. There's some various theories on that. One is the stone tape theory, where these past emotional episodes between people are somehow written on the fabric of space-time, or they could be written on the environment. There's some speculation about geological formations, you know, different types of rock or crystals or whatever in the geography, and could possibly be recording those, but those are just a couple of extra points there.
Yeah, and it's important to stress too that, you know, you may not get the respect back that you're given. You may not
mm-hmm.
get the positivity back that you put into it, but it's like you say, it's the same with dealing with everyday people. You know, you just got to turn the other cheek, and everybody has some sort of a trauma that they're getting through. Everybody that you meet every day, everybody that you come in contact with, they've got their own stories, they've got their own problems, and you don't know what's behind somebody's life. And that's the same with somebody's death. You know, you don't wait for somebody to be nice to you. Don't wait for somebody to be positive to you, because it's your responsibility to do your part to make their life a better place as well.
And that's a good point, you know. And it's true. I mean, everybody's got their story. Everybody's got their pain. Everybody's got their, quote, cross to bear, unquote. And everybody is trying to deal with things the best they can within their level of awareness. And this could obviously relate, and does seem to relate to spirits as well, especially those that might be earthbound for whatever reason. And you're right, you know, they're people. I mean, people are different. And just because, you know, there's a lot of speculation. Just because somebody has died does not necessarily mean that the whole world has been opened up to their mind and they now get it all. Some seem to have that, but not all. There are some spirits that seem to be earthbound, seem to be stuck in a location. Why? We don't know for sure.
Well, the ones that you're most likely to come in contact with are pretty much still in our physical realm. You
mm-hmm.
know, they're just without the physical body. And with a lot of the ones that I've seen, the hauntings, et cetera, quote unquote, that I've seen here in Ireland, it seems to be the result of some sort of religious misunderstanding, you know. And sometimes it seems like when they experience physical death, it doesn't happen the way they've been told it should happen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the Belf people flying down with the harps to take them off to the mm-hmm. promised land the way that it may have been portrayed to them. And in past times here, you know, you could have stolen an apple and it would have been the same penalty for killing somebody. So, you know, if they think I might not be going to the place I should be going to here, then they may find it a safer bet to stay close to home. And that is where you will get a lot of the negativity, and that is where you'll get a lot of violence. And, you know, you just have to understand that that's the way that it is. And the more that you develop your own mind, body, and spirit, the further into that realm that you will go. And eventually you can get to the point where you can bypass the negativity and you can go into the more spiritual aspects of it.
And, you know, I've been talking about the power of belief for years and teaching that to not only paranormal investigators, but to my metaphysics students. You know, the power of belief is arguably the most potent force in the universe. It started wars, it stopped wars, it's responsible for all of our successes and failures. And I absolutely agree with you. When we pass, doesn't necessarily mean our belief systems have changed. They might change depending on, like you said, where we're at spiritually. But some of these folks hang on to some of these disabling religious beliefs. And I've experienced it in some investigations too, where they won't cross over because they're afraid they're going to go to hell. They are afraid that they haven't done what they should have. You know, all those self-denigrating beliefs, you know, that people have, especially those with low self-esteem. So they cross over and they think they're going to go to hell they pass on. They don't cross over because they're afraid they're going to go to hell. It's the power of belief. It doesn't necessarily change.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of examples of that in prisons. You know, there's a few old prisons here that have been discontinued for a number of years, and they're riddled. They're riddled with ghosts. and that's where you get the bad ones. We've had people grabbed around the neck. We've had people pushed, scratched. Everything you can think of has happened in prisons. And you just got to think, you know, well, this was a place where there was some not-so-nice people. Mm-hmm. And then this is also the same place in the same room with the not-so-nice people were the very nice people who were penalized for things that they shouldn't have been penalized for.
Yeah.
So you're gonna get all of the above in prisons. And it's just amazing, you know, when you see these people go in and they treat this like they're chasing some sort of a wild animal. And, you know, this is somebody's brother, this is somebody's mother, somebody's father. And I've found as well, there's a woman in spirit that I would come in contact with sometimes at a location that I go to, and she died of a lung disease. And she is so close to the human realm that she still feels the effects of this disease even where she is now, because
wow.
She hasn't fully let go of this physical existence.
You know, and let's get into that a little bit, especially... You were talking about our own spiritual advancement, our own spiritual growth, and how that can follow us. Let's talk about that awareness. You know, what's your recommendation? I mean, what should we be doing so that when we get to the other side, we don't have these issues?
Well, the thing about it is there's so much about this that I've yet to learn. You know, even though I've been doing it a number of years and done the books and the TV shows and stuff, I consider myself so new at this that there's just, I know that in the time I have left in this physical realm, I won't learn all the things that I want to learn. But I don't necessarily think that you have to. You know, I don't think this is your only go at this. I think there's no death. It's a rebirth. You know, you shed a physical body and you advance. Maybe you've been told to fear it, and maybe you've been told to see it as some sort of a negative thing or an ending, but it's not that at all. It's a rebirth. And I think all you have to do is get rid of this taboo about an afterlife. Get rid of this fear of death.
Judgment.
And, you know, yeah, death and judgment. Judgment is such a harsh term. There may be a review process, but yeah, I don't think there's the kind of judgment that you've been led to believe that there is. And, you know, that's all you've got to do. All you have to do is just be willing to advance.
And that's, yeah, amen. And that's what you, and that's what obviously this program is about, is growing, becoming complete within yourself, you know, opening up your mind, opening up your awareness, and thinking for yourself. I mean, think for yourself. Don't accept something just because somebody else says it, whether it's your religious leaders or me or anybody. Think for yourself. You know, really look over this information, review it, use critical thinking skills, and ask yourself, does it ring true? Is this right? And do your research and continue to grow and understand that, you know, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about all of us together growing.
Yeah, I mean, you're put on this earth with all the tools and all the knowledge embedded into you that you need. And you will know in your heart if something's right or wrong. You know, yeah, you're beaten down over a number of years and you're told certain things and you develop certain fears and things like that. But deep down inside you, if you take a deep breath, you'll know right from wrong. I mean, when I first experienced the first experiences that I had and started studying it, I had to do a lot of soul searching. I knew in my heart what I wanted to do, but I also knew what the world around me has taught me in the number of years I've been on this earth. And I came from a strict kind of a Baptist upbringing where this is a sin, you know. Learning about your spirit is a sin. Communicating with spirit is a sin. So I started researching. You know, when I started writing the book, there's a whole chapter in the book, The Moral Dilemma. It's chapter number 2. It's written in such a way where you can read it or you can skip it. It doesn't really matter. But if you've got these religious quarrels, you can read it, and it'll give you all the history and all the relevant facts that you need to know. And when I started researching, I found that the World Christian Database alone represents over 9,000 factions of Christianity.
Wow.
So I just decided that nobody's going to tell me what I'm doing is a sin when there's 9,000 different varied opinions on what the scripture even says. So once you agree among yourselves which one of you are right, then you can come and talk to me about what I'm doing, you know?
Preach it, brother. I'm telling you, you know, and that's the point. And that's what we constantly admonish. Think for yourself. And that's so good that you did that. And you know, of course, I don't even recognize the word sin. It's just one more word to make you feel bad about yourself. Fear, control, and I don't do any of that stuff. In fact, I, like you, was raised with a very strict Christian upbringing, and all the stuff that I'm currently doing is a sin. Everything I'm doing, and yet everything I'm doing for one reason: to help humanity evolve and step up to the next level of not killing each other, stopping this stupid tribal warfare, especially over religion.
And it's not about revolting against the religions, and it's not about arguing with them or fighting with them. You know, they're all nice, positive people for the most part. It's just that the origins of the religion and some of the religious leaders don't exactly play a positive position in the development of the religion. I mean, self-enlightenment just doesn't work, because when you have self-enlightenment, you don't need the institution. You don't have to give money to have a new roof built to the onto the church. You know, you don't you don't have to feel guilty every time you have a sense of self-enlightenment. And you know, communicating with somebody who's passed over to the other side has got to be a big fear of some of these institutions.
Oh,
because
yeah.
What if somebody tells you that things aren't exactly like you've been led to believe that they are? You know?
Well, that's why the Bible was illegal to read back during the Middle Ages. You know, they didn't want people reading the Bible because they'd find out what was going on, you know, with the clergy. Yeah. So, you know, absolutely correct. Oh, and I had a thought, and it fled me. It's done gone. Good points, you know, excellent points. Think for yourself. Find your own truth. Do no harm, but don't stop there. That's passive. Be active. Do good. And raise your awareness, you know. And you mentioned earlier, we all have our story, we all have our adversity, we all have our issues to deal with. And don't forget that either, folks. You know, look, your fellow person, fellow human being, they're all going through something. And, you know, can we make our load lighter? Can we help one another, even if it's a word of encouragement, you know, to do right, lighten the load a little bit? You know, one other thing, Mark, that I was really impressed with from our previous discussion is your very grounded approach and objective approach at trying to understand or trying to draw a conclusion from what you've experienced with these voices. And I know we talked about that on the previous show. You know, there was the thing, the notion that came up, well, you know, could these voices have been radio interference, you know, or a radio station nearby? And yeah. And you had an excellent way of, you know, why don't you believe it was radio? That's, tell people
well,
that.
I was a professional vocalist in various rock bands for a number of years. And in that capacity, I know people who are rock stars. I know people who are sound technicians, people who are recording engineers. And the whole 15-plus years that I've been playing and singing on various stages, using some of the best equipment, using some of the cheapest equipment, not one single time has a performance ever been interrupted by a stray radio signal. I don't know anybody that's ever happened to. You know, I know it's possible, but the likelihood of it happening is very, very slim. So when I go into one of these locations that's apparently haunted, and people witness testimony tells me they've experienced things, they've heard things, and in 15 minutes of being there, you get a response to somebody asking, is there anybody there? And that response is recorded onto an electronic device, and it says, please help me. I find it very hard to believe that that's a stray radio signal. I mean, I know it's possible, but, you know, it's also possible that it could be people from the planet Quasar.
Yeah.
So the likelihood is, judging by the witness testimony, judging by what I've got, judging by the response to the question, I'd say it's probably paranormal in origin.
And see, that's the way you go about having a logically defensible conclusion, which I've talked about a lot, too, and which I teach. You know, yeah, there are things that could happen, but you got to be able to logically defend it, which you just did. And plus, what's the likelihood of a stray radio signal being very specific to a question that's asked?
And even if it is a radio signal in response to your question, how are you transmitting? How did they hear you? You know,
mm-hmm.
And even though it's important to have a skeptical mind, some of the people that label themselves as skeptics, you know, the explanations that they come up with for some of this stuff is farther out there than Abraham Lincoln coming up and shaking your hand.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes back to J. Allen Hynek, who, you know, I think regrettably in his later years regretted the whole, you know, swamp gas thing for UFOs. I mean, that just became the poster child for, oh my God, are you serious? Give me a break. You know, swamp gas, well, there's no swamp. Come on. You know, so, it really goes to show that you have to be grounded, you have to be objective. And those of you who are listening to the program who are either paranormal researchers or students who are seeking that, this is a huge, huge point. Remain grounded, think for yourself, be objective, rule out things, and you will do well. You will maintain your credibility, your reputation, which is everything in this field. And that's one of the reasons why I asked Mark to be on this program, because, you know, wow, you know, what a very objective, grounded approach to this. And I appreciate that more than you know.
Not even limited to paranormal investigation. See, what people don't understand is a lot of people don't move in a more positive spiritual direction because they think it takes years and years of dedication to learning how to catch flies with chopsticks and levitate in the corner and this and the other. You know, it's a step-by-step process, and you will see the results the very first day. You don't have to change who you are. It's not about changing who you are. It's about being who you are. you know, I still have a good time. I still love rock music. I'm still the same person that I am, or that I always have been. I just tend to share this person with more people. And once you start moving in that direction, in that positive direction, things will naturally fall into place. Some of the people around you that aren't the most positive people for your life's purpose will naturally drift away. You know, it may be painful 5 minutes here and there, but in the long term, you see the benefits. You open yourself up to more positive people circling around you. You know, you open yourself up to more positive experiences. Troubles in your life naturally start, you know, taking care of themselves. And you don't have to have some big dramatic overnight change. It's just a matter of accepting who you are, accepting the power inside you that is special enough to live on past your physical mm-hmm. existence.
And that's a good point too, you know, and I want to just echo your words. You know, it's like we're all a perfect work in progress. It's like that sculpture, you know, you keep, you know, just tweaking it a little bit. You grow, you evolve, you polish, spit polish, you know, you evolve. And you evolve toward the point of becoming complete within yourself. That means not, quote, needing, unquote, anything other than you to make your way in life, to find your answers. It doesn't mean you can't ask for advice, but you ultimately make up your own mind and you make sure it's your path. And that's why MCHS Church does not recognize some kind of a God figure that is there that you have to please or that you have to fear displeasing, you know, that you have to fear that you're going to be a sinner or you'll be judged and all that other crap that we've been force-fed, most of us, for all of our life. It's just somebody's concept to explain the greater reality. It's just one idea. There are others, and MCHS Church offers an alternative, and one of those is you have everything within you, your higher self, who you are, your own soul light, if you will. So look within and find those answers, and at the same time, as we've talked about, do no harm and do right. Mark, mention your book again, where it can be obtained, and your website.
Well, my book is the Doug Kelly Autobiography.
Right.
You can find it in the fiction shelf at most books.
That really. Don't tell them that. It'll change everything they think about me.
You'll go to number one in a day. No, it's my book is Spirit Voices, the first live conversation between worlds. And my name is Mark L. Cowden. And the website is www.markelcowden.com. And if you have enough time on your hands to read about 200 pages of honest-to-goodness, positive, true words, then I recommend you pick it up in either paper format or electronic format and read the true story about somebody who has witnessed firsthand that there is an afterlife. You don't just end up in a hole in the ground. And that regardless of what you might see on CNN, there is good news.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, it's just, and I'm going to order your book on Amazon or wherever right away, and I'm looking forward to reading it. It's going to be, I'm sure it'll be great. And, you know, plus all the other good stuff you've had to offer and, you know, all the grounded thoughts and just, that's what I really like about you, Mark. Just, you know, you are what you are, what you see is what you get, you know. Level-headed, down to earth. You know, I'll keep going on about that probably forever. So, you know,
well,
good job.
I'll have some new developments as time goes on, and we can make this an ongoing relationship.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But I also found out recently that I will be able to give you access to this video footage, and you can make it available on your website for a couple of days for your listeners or whoever to go
on
and actually see this for themselves.
Yeah, let me know when I can do that, and I will put a link on the mchschurch.org for whatever length of time you tell me and make it available.
Yeah.
So shoot me an email and let me know about that. Well, Mark, you know, it's been an awesome 50 minutes. I know it's 2:50 a.m. in Ireland, and I really appreciate you, you know, making yourself available this late hour to join us.
No, it's absolutely my pleasure. It's like I say, it's a rare opportunity that I get to do some sort of a broadcast that is this type of thing. You know, you get a lot of, you have to take the good with the bad, especially if you're working with publishers and stuff. You've got kind of your duty to help promote things, even if sometimes you don't necessarily agree with the motives or the direction the people that you're talking to are taking. I've done some of those where, you know, I would have just loved to have hung up after 5 minutes, and this is one of the good ones. You know, this is one that I've enjoyed doing. I've never experienced this type of an organization that, you know, it's just by pure coincidence that I seem to agree and work along the same basis that your foundation works on here. And even as I read through the website and the principles of beliefs, you know, this is kind of the way that I think and the way that I feel, and I've come to these conclusions naturally, so I completely promote everything that you guys stand for.
Well, and I'm glad to hear that, and I have my own thoughts about that. You know, that's one of the unanticipated benefits of me starting MCHS Church. I am pleasantly surprised at the people that are coming here, that it's drawing. And it's like, it's almost like by coincidence, but it's not. It's almost like synchronicity. It's almost like there's something in the universe drawing us like-minded people together. I didn't really anticipate that. And I am so happy for that because, wow, I've been meeting some incredible people. I mean, I've got students that rock, and most of them do, if not all of them. And they all have these high callings, if you will, to make the world a better place. It re-inspires my faith in humanity. It's just an incredible thing, and you as well. So, you know what, Mark, I know it's late. I'm going to let you go, but I hope that we can talk again soon. I'll shoot you an email, and I'm so glad that we were able to have this time. Thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure, and I'll speak to all of you guys soon.
Sounds good, Mark. Sleep well.
Thank you.
All right. Had a great, great conversation with Mark L. Cowden, and, you know, it's just so many interesting things, so many great parts of that. You know, his experiences with recording those voices, and I agree with him. I mean, I think it is a fantastic thing that ought to be broadcast on all the news channels and so forth. But yet, you know, how long did it take for me to even hear about it? And having and being a big part of the anomalous research community too. And so it's great to learn that stuff. And so anyway, we're going to be transitioning now in just a few minutes to Dr. Vicky's psychic perspective. At this point, though, take just a moment, take a quiet moment, send out some positive thoughts and energy to some people perhaps that need it, that you're aware of. Send some to yourself at the same time. We all could use a little bit of an encouraging thought or power at times. Well, let's see. Next week, we'll have another informative topic. If you like the show, please tell others about it. If you have a topic that you would like discussed, let me know. If you like what you're hearing, I invite you to join the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. You can find us on the web at mchschurch.org. If you'd like to learn more about metaphysics and even earn your PhD degree in metaphysics, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Well, that wraps up my part of the program, but again, please stay tuned for Dr. Vicky's psychic perspective coming up in just a few minutes. She will take your calls and offer psychic spiritual advice. This is Doug Kelly encouraging you to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have an awesome week.
This has been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Empower the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated.
This is the MCHS Educational Network. Please visit us at mchschurch.org.
This is Dr. Vicky's Psychic Perspective on the MCHS Educational Network. And now, Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective, MCHS Educational Network. I love this show. We've had a very interesting hour with Mark L. Cowden. And in keeping with that flow, certainly I'd like everyone to... Please feel free to call in, write in the chat room, any experiences that you've had you'd like to share, questions that you may have. And that's the point of Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective. The phone number's at the top of the screen if you'd like to call in. John is waiting, 714-459-3973, or feel free to chat. Sign in and chat on the on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we just came off of an extraordinary interview with Mark L. Cowden, and wonderful man, extraordinarily grounded. A lot of things that Mark said particularly moved me. And certainly we are going to talk about that in this next little while. In a little while, Doug Kelly will be joining us, and we'll be having a bit of a discussion and getting, certainly Doug Kelly's input and his take on things. But again, please, I really want to encourage you. I want to support you. Write questions. Phone in. That's why I'm here. One of the things that I noted in particular that Mark had talked about in his dealings with psychics on location, and particularly Marianne, when they did this recording, that they had an actual recording of a two-way conversation with the spirit. And how extraordinary for Marianne that she was so moved, because in her 60-some years of doing what she does, you know, a reader or a psychic lives in their own reality, and other people don't hear that reality. Other people don't see it necessarily. So for the first time, here's a woman who can, she's sitting there and everybody's getting what she gets. I mean, that is truly, it was a very moving moment for me because I can relate with Marianne. You know, myself, I, even as a very little girl, I could hear spirits and I could talk to them, and so I mean, it was normal for me. That was my normal, and I don't know what to say. Everybody else, they realized pretty quick that it's not their normal. So it you'd start to live in a secret world. And what is the reality? What is our reality, my reality in particular? When I particularly realized as a young girl that other people don't hear what I hear, other people don't see what I see, I had to learn how to stay in my own mind, not short-circuit, start deciphering, begin to sort out, and not, the very least, not appear like a nutcase to other people. I also was raised in a very religious background, Bible camp in the summer, teaching Sunday school. I always questioned everything, though. I mean, I liked the games and I liked the music and the songs, but I wasn't particular about what we're learning. And, of course, one day I asked the fatal question of, who said Jesus looked like that? Because in my mind, he should have brown skin. Well, I got kicked out of teaching Sunday school, and that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I went, phew. You know, my mother was terribly upset about that, but it was all right, you know. I mean, again, you know, going through the teen years and going through all that, the phases and stages of life, and really thinking I'm a little bit not with it, but I knew there's that, you know, Mark Cowden referred to that. There's that knowing inside that where I am and who I am, my mind is real. And it was a comfort to me. So I always had this place in the recesses of my mind. And these spirit beings, I call them my people. And I've never thought of them as angels or guides or anything. They're my people and they're my friends. And I meet spirits much the same way I do people. So I took comfort in that, and they always made better sense to me than human beings. So that's whenever I was in great dilemma, that's exactly where I went. It was my safe place in the world, my reality. So I see we've got a couple of comments in the chat room, and I'm just going to read a little note here from Camille. I had Lori Ann to speak to. She stayed with me until I turned 8. I was told that she was imaginary. She seemed very real to me at the time. Well, I find it very interesting that you knew her name too, Camille. I think that's very exciting. And if you would like to, you know, elaborate on that at any point, please feel free to do that. We don't always know their names, so I think it's great comfort. And I know there is that other side about the imaginary friends. Some are imaginary, perhaps. All right, we have a caller on the line. I believe the caller is Larissa. Go ahead, Larissa.
Hi, Vicki. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm good.
Do you have a question or a comment, Larissa?
I'm just wondering if you want to give me some insight into what's going on these days with me.
With you? Sorry, you're going to have to speak up just a little bit, Larissa. When's your birthday, Larissa?
November 7th, 66.
November 7th, 1966. I'm just going to do a couple of things here. Your birth path number is a 4, and you're in a 4-year, Larissa, so it's a huge change time for how you relate with the outside world. Whenever I see these particular numbers line up, as opposed to your name number lining up with the year, which is an internal change, you're in that time of external change, your relationship with the outside world. So how you define yourself in the world is changing. How it's like you may well find yourself in a time of changing friends, changing associates, even changing where you live, for that matter. It could be a job. Anything to do with the outside world is changing. You may find that you don't like particular people anymore. You don't care for them, or they don't suit you, I think is probably a better way to say it. So you're going to have to just ride it out, Larissa. It's a change year, and you will find your way. We're halfway through the year, or better than halfway through the year now, and your birthday coming up in November. I would say even by mid-November, late November, it would start to really improve and you'll start to feel a lot more comfortable. Does that make sense to you?
Sort of, because I find I'm losing being grounded. I'm feeling lost.
That's, when you're in this kind of a cycle, that's bound to happen. Or at least you're going to feel that way at times. You're not really lost, it's just you're uncertain because your relationship with the outside world has changed. It just means to say that everything that you felt comfortable with in the world is no longer comfortable. So if you can just breathe, just keep breathing, check in with yourself, and know my famous line of the old adage of this too shall pass is just take one day at a time. Because it's that kind of a cycle. There's nothing you can do about it except be the best you, just staying as grounded as you can. And if you're not grounded, it's because you're kind of swaying with the environment a little bit too much. Get back into your own thinking, your own ideas, your own just your own belief system. Anchor yourself right back in that again, and that'll help you stay grounded. Perhaps there's other things you could do too that might help you, Larissa, during this kind of a cycle is things like yoga, and perhaps it's something like group yoga where you are with other people who share that commonality, maybe not just yoga that you would do by yourself. Maybe you need to have a little bit of that socializing that helps you feel kind of embraced. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wish I could help you. All I can say is ride it out, Larissa. It gets way better by mid-November. It will just automatically start to feel better. Automatically
okay.
Feel better. All
thanks,
right.
Dr.
Thanks for calling, Larissa. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
it's true. Sometimes there's no right answer. There's no cure answer for what we're going through or why we're doing it. It's just the way the energy's going, and it's how we adapt to it. And some cycles are just a ride, like hang on to your parts because you're going for a ride. I guess Camille has a question. Hello,
Hi, Dr.
Camille.
Vicky. How are you?
How are you? I'm very well. So, go ahead. You were talking in the chat room, correct?
Correct. And I'm talking about the subject. Now, we had, when I say we, I'm talking about myself and my two daughters, and we had experience where we, the three of us, were sitting on the bed with our cat sitting in the middle of us, when all of a sudden the cat pointed its head toward the ceiling and started trembling and making very strange noises. And at about the same time, we heard a loud thud and a running across the upstairs story, even though we knew no one was there. And this, to shorten the story, happened on three times that evening. Each time we had the husband, poor old dad, run upstairs and check out, nothing was there. So that week I called a professor at a university here on the Northeast Coast, and I was interviewed. They put me through a psychology test. They put me through emotional tests. I mean, everything. And after about 6 hours of being interviewed, I asked her, I said, well, what do you think? Did this really, what did we experience? And she said, I'll tell you what happened. You did experience something. And I said, well, what makes you so sure? And she said, it was because of the cat. And was her strongest response to everything that I had told her, is that it was how the cat, the pet, acted in the home. And we had other incidents where our animals had acted mysteriously right before events took place. So it was a very important clue for us that the animals were experiencing it, and then we would experience it also.
Well, they are very sensitive to vibrational changes, any kinds of electromagnetic frequency, so to speak. And then that's your first reading, okay? Somebody's here, or something is here.
Right.
That happens an awful lot, if you want to know. That animals, you know, I've had dogs in my life that would just bark at air.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we experienced. Unfortunately, several times they would growl, and I was like, okay, we don't like that.
No. Well, sometimes they growl because they're just a little afraid, not because anything bad is there, it's just they're scared.
Well, having this talent all your life, how did you handle it? Because I have it, my girls have it, and we don't tell anyone, to be quite honest.
Well, I'm glad you're on the show because we're telling everybody now.
Everyone's already in tune.
You know, you really do have to find people, at least one or two or three people in your network or your environment you can speak with. And thankfully, you have your girls, and it's natural to you. So you debrief each other. And kudos to you, Camille, because it's tough when you say you haven't had anybody to talk to, but you still gave it to your girls, and you still supported them and empowered them to go with whatever they're seeing. That's huge. As a mom, I know that's big, but when you ask how I handled it, probably like you, except that the difference was, for me, somebody asked me the other day, you know, when did I get into reading? Well, I never did. It got into me. And the pathway just happened, truly, where I just met people. And just reading for people was so natural that I had a dual life. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a big duality. I spent, you know, 20 years working in the media, and none of these people knew that at home I was a reader. So
I understand that.
I went to great lengths to not have the two overlap, because there is so much criticism and there, again, that craziness. And I love it that now we're in a time that we can speak more about it. Like, there are more people who want to know more. They are seeking out readers or psychics or counselors or people who are more open. And there is that. We're always going to have those who say it's evil or sinful or something, but that's their problem. So people like yourself, Camille, just keep doing what you're doing and empowering your girls. But if you could find a couple of friends, you might actually be surprised when you open up the subject. You might be surprised who's in your neighborhood who might agree with you.
I'm slowly getting there, and I'm finding that this is the case. So it's just good to hear it from someone else, especially on your perspective. It just reinforces positive things for me. So this is good. Yeah.
You know, sometimes if you approach your, you know, friends or coworkers or relatives, if you just approach with, you know, delicately, like, how do you feel about spirituality, or have you ever had a feeling about the phone ringing and you knew who it was? And sometimes even with those simple things, you can approach the subject. And, you know, then it just opens up the conversation. So I think I suggest, what I have found often is that, well, because I don't hide it anymore, I am what I am, and wherever I go, people just know what I do. But I have found that when you open the door, a lot of people walk through, and some of the least suspecting people have had extraordinary experiences. So good for you. I would like to ask you, Camille, when you were little and you knew the name of your so-called imaginary friend, Laurie Ann, was it?
Laurie Ann. They even named my niece after her. That's how real she was to me.
Did you hear that name in your mind? Did you know? Like, did she tell you or dad? Go ahead.
I just knew her name was Laurie Ann. I do not know why. I never heard the name Laurie before. And I heard the name in my mind, if that makes any sense.
Huh.
And I can't even tell you how we had conversations, but she was always there. And, you know, even as a child, I was different from other kids in the neighborhood, so I spent a lot of good quality time alone, and she was always there with me. But I was also a kid who got into a lot of trouble with other kids in the neighborhood. I was the instigator of gangs and things, five-, six-year-old gangs. But so I didn't have a problem with solitude. I enjoyed my solitude, but Laurie Ann was there for me in that solitude. So she was there, and we just naturally.
When you say she was there till you were about eight, was there a pivotal moment that she just disappear?
Well, everyone, the adults, I was more conscious of the adults laughing at me, making fun of the fact that Laurie Ann was in the room, or, you know, I just became more aware that this wasn't a normal thing. And then we moved from South Florida. We were living in Florida at the time. I moved from Florida to Bakersfield, which was a very small, very, very religious little town. And at that point in time, I basically just shut down. Because I was, first of all, I was the only Catholic in the community, and then couldn't dare discuss that, much less having an imaginary friend. So Laurie basically went away.
But obviously, as time went on, you resurrected a comfort with your intuition. When did that happen? How did that come back for you?
It came back after I went through the teenager years. I started realizing that I had a gift. I call my intuition a gift. And I learned to trust my intuition. I learned to recognize what it was telling me, when to trust, when not to trust, when to have the benefit of a doubt. It wasn't until I was in my early 20s that it came back.
And when you started to get your intuition, is that about the time when you started perhaps seeing or hearing spirits again?
True. And sometimes it was more prevalent right before a menstruation cycle.
Ah, okay. You know, I love what you're saying here and how you're sharing this, because I think a lot of people who are listening to the show right now can relate to the years of discomfort where you put it away, and then it comes mm-hmm. back. And
it does.
When all the people are failing you, your spirits never do.
That's true. That's so true.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling, Camille.
You're very welcome.
So enjoyed talking to you, and I know that other people listening benefit from hearing your story. So,
well, thank you
very much.
It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Doug Kelly, are you with us?
I are with you, always.
Well, that was a wonderful conversation with Camille.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks to Larissa for calling in also. Have I missed any questions in the chat room while we were talking?
Let's see. You have missed Mark talking about how he wouldn't want to read people's minds because that's where all the stuff is. Reading the heart is better. I don't believe there are any other questions.
Any other
questions? If there are, if anybody, just post them again.
And while Mark is listening, I'm going to reinforce this to him in listening to your interview with Mark, Doug, that it was so moving to me and so inspiring to me to hear about Marianne and, you know, as a reader and what she went through and that validation. What a moment that must have been for her. But you've had a few little moments yourself, Doug
mm-hmm.
Kelly,
oh,
with your monk also.
Yeah.
With our Thomas Francis.
Yeah, who says I'm a late bloomer?
A late starter.
Oh, a late starter.
A late starter.
Yeah, what is
For those who are listening and haven't heard the story before, when one of the first times Doug and I ever were conversing on Skype, he'd asked me if I saw anybody, and I don't like to volunteer too much unless I know it's safe with people and they're comfortable with hearing it. And I mentioned about the monk standing behind him, and well, you can take it from there, Doug.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I've talked about this. I think we may have talked about it on a previous show, but anyway, I was aware of a monk who was a proverbial spirit guide. Gregory, my friend, who is a psychic medium, had told me that he was there two or three years ago. And so, and he had come up a couple of times in various ways, some table tipping, some different things like that. So when Vicky said, you have a monk standing behind you, about fell off my chair. You know, I didn't even have the monk in my mind. And so this went on for a while, and the name that I knew him by was Stanley, which I thought was a funky name for a monk, but it turns out it was his last name. So I now know him as Thomas Francis Stanley. That's the short version.
And he doesn't always show up when we're talking, but once in a while he pops in, and he's a pretty interesting fellow. He certainly is leading the way for you and guiding you and teaching you, would you say?
I would say that I view him more as my spirit advisor, because I don't need no guide, dang it. If I want a guide, I'll ask for one.
You do it yourself.
Well, you know, hey, it's semantics, okay? So
yeah,
it's just me.
I know. Well, what I find is I learn so much about, I always say it's kind of like eavesdropping on the cosmic when I get to read for people or meet new spirits that other people have. So when I meet someone like Thomas Francis, I feel like I'm really the lucky one, that because I get to learn through you things that I wouldn't otherwise have learned by myself, but
mm-hmm.
That I, you know, I'm eavesdropping, and I feel quite blessed for that. But, you know, just to share with other people, that comfort of it doesn't just happen. It is a knowing yourself kind of comfort. And, you know, I'll be 56 right away, so and I have to admit it because it's been a long time. And when I say I've been doing this, doing readings for 40 years, I started as a teenager, and actually I started when I was like 11 or 12, and even earlier. So it's that development of the self, that growing comfortable with yourself and not being like the world or not being the way the world tells you to be, or not right. buying into a reality that just doesn't make sense to you, certainly not from a spiritual perspective. So it takes time. It takes time for people, I think, and to encourage people to keep going, even though you could feel deflated or, ridiculed or criticized or fearful. Just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Shauna had a question. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Shauna had a question from earlier. I posted it in the chat.
Ah,
didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's all right. As a psychic, how do you differentiate between spirit speaking to you and your own thoughts? it's as simple as I know how I think. When I was younger and hearing spirits or voices, I would question my sanity, but I knew something was there, but I wasn't always that comfortable. I just knew it didn't belong to me. The more comfortable I got with who I am, how I know I process information, the things I think about, the kinds of language that I use, for instance, or the words I use, or gestures, I know that when certain things come, that's not me. I just know it's not me. I wouldn't speak like that. I don't think like that. That's not, I don't feel like that. So I just know that it's a spirit or some other energy that's there that's not me. And I hope that answers it. And because that's as best as I can describe it. When you know yourself, you know what doesn't belong to you. And that doesn't mean to say you'll be able to decipher it or make sense necessarily of what you're getting. That comes with time. It comes with practice, actually, and being really observant. This is something that, Doug and I have talked about a lot, about being an observer and being studious to observing your own self first, but observing others and observing your environment. So observing how that flows, or from one event, what's the result? Or if this was said, then this means that. And you'll just get better at it.
Let me also add to that. Maybe my experience will help too with Shauna's question.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously, not a psychic in the traditional sense. I have my own psychic moments, but there are a few times when I get a thought, an impression that is automatic. It's natural, and it just comes. And it's a feeling. It's a deep feeling. It's just there. It's instant, and I don't know how else to explain it. It's just there. It's not the result of a thought process. It's not the result of thinking about it. It just hits me. And I've had a few of those things pop into my head, and I'm thinking, wow, where did that come from? And so perhaps those are the more obvious ones for me. I'm still honing the craft.
Sorry, Doug, but you would know at that moment, you say, where did that come from? You know that's not your thought.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's the point. Yeah. It's there. It's an impression. It's a strong impression. It's a strong thought. I've had a word pop into my head, which was part of the story of Thomas Francis the Monk. And
oh, there's a good story.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
I'll reiterate it briefly. It's not very long, but... Vicky and I were talking one day a few months ago, and this word metaphology popped into my head. In fact, I ignored it at first. I thought, oh, cool word. I wonder what it means. And we were talking, and so I didn't give it any more thought. Well, it popped back into my head. I says, all right. And I told her about it. We looked it up. It's not a word. And I thought, well, that's too cool to not get defined. So I defined it. But that night... I usually work very late. I mean, I sometimes work till 4 in the morning. It's just who I am, what I do. I can't change. That was just a joke. Anyway, so I'm working late. Finally go to bed. I don't know, it's 3 or 4 in the morning. And my wife Tracy's asleep. She rarely, she rarely talks in her sleep. She doesn't, and when she does, she doesn't say much. She just, you know, and rarely. So I'm lying there with the lights off before I go to sleep. I'm thinking, wow, you know, the events of the day, Thomas Francis, where did this word come from? And I'm just thinking, I'm not talking out loud because she's asleep. So I'm thinking, Thomas, where did this word come from? Thomas, did you put that in my head? And instantly, Tracy takes a deep breath. Yep. And that's what she says. And I kind of chuckled at first because Tracy rarely talks in her sleep. And so I'm just chuckling. It didn't even hit me for a couple of seconds. I thought, oh, my God. So, you know, apparently that was a response to that. But that, you know, the whole thing to sum it up is I get an impression. I get whatever. That's what I get.
When I sit with people to do readings, excuse me, when I they have my undivided attention and that thing of be here now, you know, be present, be in the moment, it absolutely applies. I'm in the client's energy. I'm in your energy. I'm there for you. And it's a shared space. And things just pop in my head. And I have learned that the minute I try to analyze it, the minute I try to make sense of it, or I try to give it a logic, I mess it up. You know, and because I want it to make sense to the client. Of course, we all do, you know. And now it's just, like, of course, I've been doing this a long time. And eventually it's just, look, I don't know what this means, but I'm going to say this to you because these words come out of my mouth. You know, this stuff is in my head. I'm just going to give it to you. What you do with it's up to you. And as long as I know my intent to do no harm, do right, and that I have a good intention to share with somebody and help them, then I just go with it. I just let it go, and I say it means what it means to you. Generally, I have found, though, you know, and how it kind of comes out disjointed sometimes, is at the end of the reading, when, you know, you debrief a little bit, the client kind of tries to share their story, then I say, well, it makes sense to me now, you know, because then I can see it. But I'm very clear to people, I don't want to know anything when we first sit down. The less you tell me, the better, because I'm not prejudiced. And, yes, of course, I get to know my regular clients, but I still try to go in with a clean slate in my mind. It's like a clean slate. Because, you know, one of my great mentors said, somebody's life can change in an hour. You know, so if you read for somebody today and then you do it again tomorrow, their life could be entirely different. So try to forget what you've already read. And I know it's not entirely possible, but I intentionally trained myself not to remember readings, but I never forget the essence of the energy. Which is interesting to me because when I share space with somebody, that's a shared energy. And I go, oh, this feels familiar. And then I can say, you feel different from the last time I saw you. You know, because I can just, and it's nothing intellectual or I can't always find the words at the beginning, but it's just the feel. And if we all tune in, we're all in that shared space of feeling, and we're all getting some kind of a reading, you know, in our environment and people for a number of reasons. Part of it is the front brain. We all have this, you know, this sensory kind of reading. It's in the prefrontal cortex. You know, we all can instinctually read an energy, but it doesn't explain intuition, for instance, or spirits and other such things. So it's that feel. I understand that Kathy would like me to tune in and tell a little bit about something about herself and kind of where she is at. Kathy, you're a birth path of one. And just to clarify, I like numbers because it just helps me tune in real fast. I like patterns. I like numbers. I like the feel of those things. So you're in a 5-year, Kathy, which is actually very adventurous. A 5-year can feel Here's two things about the five, which when you're in that five kind of cycle or vibration, the only true numbers are 1 to 9. 5 is right smack in the middle. It's that adventurous, it wants to bust out. It just wants to, it wants to explore, it wants to leap forward, it wants to move forward. The kicker about a 5 is that if it's not moving and kind of looking, peeking up and over and looking where the number 6 is, it can feel oppressed, it can feel under, it can, the energy can feel kind of like tied down. So somebody who's in a 5 year has to be very aware of trying to stay very balanced in their energy, not to get too depressed or not to get too high, but try to stay as even-keeled as possible. I know emotionally that's not always easy to do, but if here's the point that I like to make, is if we know the energy kind of, you know, through these phases of life, if we know that it's a phase and an energy, work with the energy to best for your best outcome, so or your, you know, the best journey, if you will, but hopefully to the best outcome. So if you're in that kind of a 5 year and you find yourself feeling confused or, you know, a little oppressed, I really don't like the word depressed, but because oppressed is just more appropriate, where you're not feeling free, so to speak, then find other things to do that keep your energy moving. So if you can just keep the energy moving, keep your thoughts moving, because as you move into a 6 year next year, that's way more social, way more community, it's way more, it's like better relations, if you will. So your birthday, by the way, being December 16th, is right about that calendar year, you know, end for end. So you're going to really feel a huge change, and you likely always have. Catherine, if you always felt that whew on that New Year's Eve thing. So this one's not going to be any different for you, except you're moving into a way better time. I also take into consider your age. As we do 7 year cycles, and you've moved from once into the in a change, so the 49 to 56, 56 to 63, that's what we call a 2 cycle. And without really explaining it all right now, it's a very productive, energetic time. So you're moving into that energetic cycle with the number 6. You are going to meet your calling. You really will feel exactly what you're going to do. You'll know it. And there won't be a lot of thinking about it. This year's a lot of feeling of things. So take some time for yourself, take little holidays, adventures, keep your energy moving, and you'll do just fine this year. So you're actually in a really good cycle. I like 5, but you like it when you're older. You don't necessarily like it when you're young, you know, because we take things to heart very easily, you know, when we're younger. So I hope that helps you, Kathy. I might tell people, Doug, I'm a pattern freak. You and I have talked about this. I love patterns. Mm-hmm. I love to see, I can always see, as you've said too, we can always see when something's out of pattern,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of sync. But in this studying of patterns, there 7 is a really interesting number because we live a 7. There's 7 days in a week. There's 7 52-day cycles in a year, which is interesting. It does correct itself on leap years. There are 7 cycles in a day, 7 exact cycles in a day. So when we're also doing the 7 cycles in a year, there's 52 days after the birthday that I really like to pump people up about. It's a really good time for you to promote yourself, a very good time to move forward, PR, anything that you want to sell. If you want a loan at the bank, you know, you're going to be received better, for instance. You want to talk to your boss, you'd be received better. You want to find a new job, you'd be received better. And it's not to say that the rest of the year is a write-off. I'm just saying that it's a way better, good time to sell yourself. The 52 days prior to that birthday is a rest time. It's much like a full moon. So if you think of your birthday as a peak of a full moon, and whatever you're thinking about on that day, whatever energy, whatever you're living on that day, is actually propelling through the year. It's a birth moment. So I would recommend that on the birthday, if you know your time of birth is way better, do a meditation and project everything that you want for the following year. But keep in mind, I have this saying that the universe doesn't paraphrase. You have to be very clear, very precise in your words. And if there are particular things that you want to project for, then write them down. And perhaps at the end of the year, you could look back, look at your list, and see how it manifests. It's very interesting to watch. Catherine's just saying full moons always make her feel out of sorts. Well, this is what I'm going to recommend about those things, is heighten your own vibration. It's kind of like if you're irritated around telephone poles, have your vibration higher than the telephone pole, and that energy just goes right through you and it doesn't affect you. I like full moons. I can feel how other people are feeling on a full moon. I can tell about the energy of that moon, but I don't let it affect me. I just let it blow through me. So I hope that kind of gives you something else to think about there, Catherine, about full moons. But I understand, you know, Doug, that there's the crime rate goes up on a full moon. Hospitals, you know, are busier in full moons. Mm-hmm. Lots of interesting things happen on full moons. Vampires come out.
Right. Werewolves, don't forget them.
Yeah, of course, of course. Anything else that you'd like to you know, add in at this point, Doug?
There's nothing that's coming to mind. It's been a good discussion and some interesting things. I mean, you know, the psychic questions, to me, it's one of the most fascinating parts of metaphysics, the psychic part. And I'm sure it is to a lot of people, too. It just never ceases to amaze me or to fascinate me on how consciousness is involved in understanding these things or in getting these messages or in getting these impressions from the Akashic Record or the Universal Consciousness or whatever. And it gives us glimpses into the greater reality. So that's why it's always fascinating. And I think the questions about how to interpret them, how to know when they happen, they just never get old to me. I mean, I've heard it a thousand times, and it's always an ongoing, evolving process of listening to your psychic self and knowing how to interpret that.
Well, I tell you, it never gets dull for me either. One thing I might say to people, if you can keep your mind as clean as possible, as prejudice-free as possible, you will learn things you never imagined. Because whatever we're interpreting, it goes through our own brain program. It goes through our own filing system. And if you can let go of your filing systems, like debrief the religion thing, for instance, debrief other people's realities from your mind, the world you tap into is fantastic. And I'll just give one little kind of a story on this one, Doug, is it was never my experience to be abducted by aliens or any such thing. Even as a child, I never questioned about there being ETs. It was just a given to me. But it was never my experience to know them, like I've, you know, came to know other people had. But probably about 15, 18 years ago, this fellow came to me for a session, and it jolted my energy because it was so unfamiliar. What I was feeling from him was so unfamiliar, and I knew, boy, I'm just going to have to go neutral here because I don't know what this is, but I want to know what this is. Mm. So it was one of those moments where it was a real true test of, oh, I have no file for this. I have no brain file for this, but I'm going to roll with it. So I gave, you know, that push that pause button, push my pause button, and I felt it, and I looked at him, and I said, oh, you're from the future. And I knew in that moment he had a connection with ETs. He was an inventor, and it's extraordinary reading. See, when we're prejudiced, these things can't happen. And this is why I really do encourage people in developing their own abilities, find your individuality and keep an open mind. But in order to have an open mind, you have to know what kind of brain tapes you got going on. And you have to be as prejudice-free as possible. And you will learn some of the most extraordinary things. It was a very... It was another one of those, because I've had many, but one of those pivotal moments. It was a great moment. And since then, it's opened, it's like a domino effect, you know, and just lots of things in a whole other kind of dimensions of, other dimensions of realities have unfolded since then. So it's keep an open mind.
Yep. So, no preconceived notions.
No. Well, it's been a great show. Thank you to everyone, and I tell you once again, I can't thank Mark Cullen enough for sharing time with MCHS Church. A great interview. I so look forward to him coming back again, and thank you to all of our listeners, all the people in the chat room. You can email me at vicky.hunter@mchschurch.org. If you have any questions or anything you'd like to share. So thank you very much for joining us.
And also thanks to John Hightower for screening calls.
Yes, John. Thanks, John. Everybody have a very good week. I'll see you next Sunday.